Blog Talk Radio. I'm Cindy Samson Brapp, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before that can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you today?
Hello, Cindy. How are you?
Good. You were telling a little bit of a mishap with the dog today. You know.
Oh, my goodness.
You might want to share that little story, since it was National Dog Day yesterday on Facebook. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
Okay, so in honor of National Dog Day, you can tell the story.
Yes. Well, in a nutshell, today my brother took the puppy running to try to sort of tire him out so that he was a little less destructive in the house. And he accidentally, after coming back from their run, after he put the dog in the car, he accidentally locked his keys in the car with the dog. So he was obviously very, very frantic and scrambling, trying to open up the doors and trying to find a way to get into the car. And, you know, the poor baby, after about 30 minutes in the car with my brother trying to get in, trying to, you know, get a Slim Jim, get, you know, calling the police department and everything else, you know, to try to get this damn dog out of the car. You know, all of a sudden he saw that, you know, the puppy was just like not really doing so well, and he was kind of like panting a little bit, and he started like laying down, and my brother said, well, screw this. And, you know, he's just like, if nobody else can get me into this car, he's like, I'm getting me in this car. And he had to bust the window to get the dog out of the car. And luckily, you know, he ripped him out of the car and he gave him some water. And the little guy is just as destructive now, and he's just as rambunctious now. So luckily he is okay. But I want to use that as a reminder for everybody that I understand that, you know, that the summer is winding down. And as we were talking earlier, Cindy, that, you know, there's a little bit of fall in the air, but just be aware, guys, that, you know, that a dog's temperature is a lot higher than a human's temperature. And, you know, it doesn't take long for a car to get too hot. And I actually looked up the chart after my brother and I, you know, after my brother told me about the story. And after 30 minutes in a car, if it is 80 degrees, it was 84 degrees today. So at 85 degrees, after 30 minutes, the interior car temperature reaches 119 degrees. So it only really takes minutes. And, you know, just like let that be just kind of like a warning to everybody else out there to please be mindful of that. Don't leave your pets unattended, and make sure that you be careful that they're getting the proper care in the heat.
Right, and it's funny because people have been concerned because there's been times when people have had to break windows of people's cars to get dogs out,
mm-hmm.
and the people have been sued for breaking the window. So,
yeah.
You know, you're supposed to, like, sort of call, like, you know, 911 or whatever you need to call, and then write something why you're breaking the window, break the window or something. I mean, there's like a whole thing you're supposed to follow before you break somebody's window who you don't know. But I would just break it and take the consequences, wouldn't you?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I'm not about to do that. So,
I'm so glad that had a happy ending, the dog. So,
oh, absolutely.
I mean, your brother's smart.
This way, my brother is usually, you know, kind of like a very, very tough guy. But my brother feels so bad that right now the den from the puppy playing is in absolute shambles. I can't even tell you. There's more stuffing from stuffed animals on the floor than actually in the animals. And when my mother wanted to clean up, and when, you know, I was just, you know, I kind of like, you know, just raised my voice and I was like, Bentley, no. My brother's immediate reaction was, he's had a rough day. Don't bother him.
Oh.
So my brother feels incredibly bad. And, you know, like I said, I'm just using it as just a learning tool for everybody out there, just to please be mindful of that, that nobody realizes just how long it does take for, you know, for the interior to reach such high temperatures. So just
and
be aware.
Also, since you're saying being mindful, your brother locked the keys in the car. That always tells me
yeah.
that people are not paying attention to the now. When you start locking keys in
the car. I
got to
be honest with you. I think it's in all of our DNA because me, my mother, and my brother, we are horrible with keys. Absolutely horrible. I could walk into my house and 30 seconds later look for my keys and not know where the hell they are.
Well, we're going to work on, like, being mindful of where you put your... I haven't lost my keys in years since I got one of the little clip-on things like janitors have, you know? And I immediately clip my keys on my pocket because I'll tell you the funny story is I was always losing my keys. And, you know, I'm going to be late. I got to run out. And I would always pray St. Anthony help me find my keys. And one day I heard Aunt St. Anthony say, get a clip for those keys because I'm not helping you find them anymore. So after that, I have never lost my keys. So... you know, learn, you know, if you put them in a spot, you know, be a little aware. But it's just kind of God's way of letting us know if we're locking our keys in the car, or if we're doing stupid stuff, we're losing stuff, that maybe we're either doing too much, we're running around too much, we're not being mindful of what we're doing at the time, so that it happens a lot. You know, like when we're younger, when we tend to be more ditzy when we're kids. Teenagers are ditzy,
do
a lot of ditzy stuff. How did we learn not to be so ditzy? Because the consequences, how much harder it was, you know, the day when you were ditzy.
Oh, yeah.
So you learned kind of through behavior modification to be a little more aware. So I just think when your brother did that, it's just showing that God is trying to say maybe you'll get, you know, it could have been something worse. Maybe you're going to get, you know, in a car accident because you're not paying attention or your mind isn't on the now and focusing. So I always look when I have a mishap like that, that doesn't turn out to be horrible because we managed to get through it, that it was God's way of just reminding us to be a little bit more mindful in the day. So these things don't happen. It very rarely ever happens to me now. And, you know, I remember being really pretty ditzy at some point in my life. So I think I try to be mindful. If it starts happening, like I remember one time I was trying to get out of my car so fast because I was late. I tried to close the car door at the same time I'm trying to get out. You know, doesn't that sound smart?
Oh.
Closing the door.
Yeah.
I hit myself so hard in the head that I had a goose egg on my head as big as a baseball. So...
Yep.
I started realizing, you know, you can't get out of the car and close the door at the same time. So you got to slow down. So a lot of times I tell myself, you got to slow down. You just got to slow down. You just got to.
Absolutely.
Take it a little slower. Think it through. You know, fortunately, my house, you can't lock yourself out because you have to lock the door with a key. So it keeps me from ever locking myself out of my house. Do you know what I mean? It's like a... Thank God.
Well, thank God for that.
Right, because otherwise I'm sure I would do it and lock, you know, without my keys. But we used to do it all the time when we were kids. We used to lose our keys all the time.
I can't even tell you how many times I've had to break into my house.
Yep, we used to climb through the bathroom window, and one time a policeman came, climbing through the bathroom window. What are you doing? Where are you breaking into? It's my own house, and I have to go to the bathroom. I'm breaking into the bathroom, you know.
Goodness.
Those are the funny things about life. Well, we do have so many callers today.
And actually, you know what? Before we jump into the next call, I want to give one more little lesson to everybody out there, and it's actually more of a warning. Yesterday, something awful happened to the parents of one of the gentlemen that I work with. Now, these people are in their 90s, and they received a phone call from somebody. You know, and they're very, very sharp, too. They're not in assisted living or anything. They're living on their own. You know, they do for themselves. And they received a call that was kind of a garbled call from their grandson, Anthony, who began to tell them that he was at a wedding in the Dominican Republic. You know, he's like, Nana, you know, I got into, you know, I was coming back to the hotel, you know, from this wedding, and I got into, you know, an accident, and I'm in jail in the Dominican Republic, and I need you to send me money to get out of jail. Don't tell Daddy, don't tell Julie, don't tell anybody, but I need you to send me money.
And they had all the names? They had all the names of people?
They had all of the names, and here these people went all over Hell's Half Acre, had to give $4,000 to these people through Western Union, which I'm not sure if many of you are aware, is virtually untraceable. only to find out that it was a scam, that nothing had happened to their grandson. They had all of their personal information, and they used that to scam these people. And the first thing that they said was, you know, don't tell my dad because I know he'll get on a plane and I'm going to sort it out myself. Can you please just get me out of jail?
Now, can you see how they probably scanned his Facebook page and got the names of people? So,
be careful what you're posting on the internet, guys. And be careful if you get calls like that. And make sure that regardless of what happens, that you check out stories like this to make sure that they're legitimate. Because, $4,000 later with people on a fixed income, you know, I mean, that's the world to them. And, you know,
And did they go to the DA with this so that maybe it could be...
They are doing that. Their son is helping them with that. They are going to try to see this through as much as humanly possible. But even the police told them, like they said, that, you know, it's virtually untraceable when you do something Western Union, when you send money that way. You know, if you could literally, you know, put in a different cell phone number and send more than you're legally allowed to send just by changing the phone number on the document. And there's, you know, if that phone number is not going to a legitimate person, if it's a burner phone or a phone that is just kind of like a pay-by-the-minute phone, there's no way to tell, you know, who actually made the call or who actually had the phone at that particular time. So it's very, very scary to know that they had that much personal information and they used that information the way that they did. And luckily, there was a little bit of a happier ending in this story, that although they felt extremely foolish for doing what they did, even though they had the best of intentions for trying to help out who they thought was their grandson, luckily their children stepped up and said, you know, we're going to split the difference and we're going to replace your money for you since you guys don't have that kind of money to spend. So their children are going to reimburse them to help them out financially, but it doesn't change the fact that, you know, they were scammed. And it's dangerous how much information was actually available to these people that did the scamming. So guys, just be careful with what you're putting online. Be careful with who you're speaking to, because, you know, you never know when somebody might try to flip it on you and, you know, where you might be, you know, the next person that falls victim to something like this.
Right. And you know, maybe post the little story of this on Facebook, because it kind of lets the words, thank God for social media, because these scams can be pretty halted fairly quickly, to the extent that they, you know, more people become more aware that people are calling and making these phone calls. And so that it's really, you know, helpful to know. But you know, we talk about, you know, 7 out of 10 people are unfixable and will rob you blind if they can. There's an example. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think God's just trying to remind people, you know, don't be so naive. Sometimes trust your gut. Before you send $4,000, make a call to someone, Julie or somebody that, you know, she could have made a call to the, you know, did your brother go to, or just call and ask somebody, did Anthony go to the Dominican Republic, you know, public, kind of, if they didn't want to squeal on him because they're loyal grandparents, they could have probably made a few calls and at least found out if he was there or not there. So,
well,
even
what was really screwy about it was that the reason why everybody caught on to the fact that they had gotten scammed was because they did actually try to call the kid who supposedly was calling, and they couldn't get a hold of him. And apparently this kid is known for traveling, so he usually calls up and says, hey, Nana, I'm in Mexico. Hey, Nana, I'm in Italy. You know, he travels around the world. So it was not news to them that, oh, look, he's out of the country again. So, you know, there's probably the first flag, you know, as far as, you know, him putting out on Facebook that he's, you know, not in the U.S. a lot and that he's an avid traveler. But the reason why they caught on to it was because finally, you know, they called their son Vinny, which is the guy that I work with, and Vinny was not around. And about 2 hours later, Vinny returned their phone call. And they were frantic because they couldn't come up. They asked him for another $1,000 for a total of $5,000, and they didn't have the $5,000. So they kind of just said to Vinny, and they said, Vinny, you know, we need to ask you a favor. You know, we're loaning Anthony this money. He got into some trouble, but we're short $1,000. Can you help? And then that's when Vinny said, whoa, 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 and, you know, heard the story and was like, oh, no, and took them to the police and went right over. And you know, luckily, had he not gotten back to them sooner, they would have tried to find $1,000 elsewhere, and it would have been even more money out of their pocket.
Right. Wow.
You know, so
I'm surprised they didn't recognize it wasn't Anthony's voice, but you know, maybe
well,
he said the line's not.
Well, that's what it was. It was garbled. It was
right.
so garbled, and she needs hearing aids anyway.
Oh.
You know, so it was like, Anthony, is that
perfect
you?
Storm.
And it's
perfect
like, yeah,
storm
Nana.
There. Perfect storm there, you know.
Oh, yeah. But just to prey on the elderly that way.
Well,
you
they
know,
do. They get
like,
scammed
like,
a lot, the elderly.
Oh, yeah. And it was just so awful. So, you know, I mean, just be careful the information that you're sharing and just be on the lookout for things like that happening. You know, so even if you guys have older relatives out there, you know, to all of our listeners, you know, make sure that you tell them about the story so that if they get the next call that they're already pre-warned.
They leave you in jail,
that, you know?
These
calls are
so
going
they,
around.
They leave you in jail next time, you know?
Exactly, right?
Well, I can see that TJ's on the line, by the way, before we pick up a caller. I'm going to pick him on and you can maybe screen that first caller. So,
of course I will.
Okay, so I'm going to pick up TJ. Hi, TJ. You're live and on the air.
Hi, dear.
Hi, dear. Why don't you tell our listeners about your wonderful news that your new book is out, and maybe you could tell us a little bit about it, the title, and what it's about.
Okay. Triangle Love, about three college freshmen who meet and everything that happens, and it's an interesting, wonderful novel. But
a love
people
story.
Are dating online, and it's on Amazon.com if you're really interested, and you can go to TJClementi.com. It's also information there, or you just go to Amazon.com and put in Triangle Love. But I didn't call to plug my book, so thank you. I really called to let you know that I'm going to bring you some Chinese food because I know you can probably use it. And my shirt came, correct?
Yes, everything came. Everything came. All right. Everything.
Have a wonderful show. Everyone, you should know I love Cindy because she is amazing.
Thank
and
you, dear.
And have an amazing show, and I'm on my way home. I love you, dear. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Have a great evening. Okay, now, I know that we just let Nicole try to screen that caller, so hopefully my Nicole will let me know who is going on. Now, anybody who wants to talk to us, by the way, they never tell you on Blog Talk Radio, but you need to press the number 1, and that way we'll know you want to talk to us. So we do love to answer your questions about love, relationships, career, talk to those who have crossed over, or whatever else you may have on your mind. So if you want to talk to us today, please press 1. Now, Nicole, I'm not sure if you've done your screening yet. And it looks like, yep, she has. So, Nicole, I could see that we've got someone in New York. Okay. And she's been with her, she has a feelings for her mentor, and there's a big age difference. Okay, so I'm going to try to put her on now because, hi, it's Cindy, you're live. The air.
I'm sorry?
Hi, it's Cindy. You're live on the air.
Oh, Cindy, hi.
Hi, how are you? So, okay, I think you've called in before that you have this sort of soulmate connection with one of your mentors, and he's a bit, you know, there's a big age difference, and you want, you know, more from him, but it's, you know, you've called in. Did you do any of the things we asked you to do in the last call, like start figuring out what he means to you or
I tried to contact him, but after that, I just cannot contact him, and it just driving me crazy.
He won't respond to you? Is that what you said?
No.
Now,
yeah.
Isn't it funny? That's called ghosting, when a person just disappears, and commitment phobics are masters of ghosting. They just don't answer our text, our calls. They disappear from us. It's actually very cruel. And it's a giveaway that someone has major commitment issues because he's an otherwise nice person. We can agree on that, right? I mean, prior to you wanting to be intimate with him or whatever occurred toward intimacy toward you, he was actually very nice and respectful and would get back to you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you know him from other people and other circumstances to be very responsible. But this is an otherwise nice person that did something very cruel to you. He won't... You know, even let you fight for him because he won't let you go in the arena to fight.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most painful experiences that can happen to a person.
Yeah.
Because it leaves you feeling out of control.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you feel like, did I make this all up? Am I crazy?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very karmically incorrect, and I did recently write a blog about it, to ghost somebody, to just disappear without explanation. Is an extremely karmically incorrect thing to do. because it leaves you wondering, what did I do wrong? What could I have done different? Did I say something wrong? Rather than if he just said, I'm too screwed up, I can't do this, or the age difference bothers me too much, or, you know, something that would make you feel a little bit, okay, I understand. Or if he said, look, you know, you are the love of my life probably, but I'm too messed up, I can't do this. At least you would feel like, okay, I have some understanding.
Yes.
I mean, you knew there was a connection. Hearts don't lie. Do you remember feeling connected with him?
Oh, my God. It was earth-shattering. It was earth-shattering.
Right, and that's...
Yeah.
And hearts don't lie. People lie. They act like they didn't feel it, but... The one thing about people who are, when there's a soulmate connection and you make love to this person or you're with this person or you're communicating, you know, you're not the only one feeling it. You can't make it up. They were there too. They could lie to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They could lie to other people, but they can't lie to you. You were there.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
it has hurt you because you got so close to him. And if you remember when you've read my book, Grant Me a Higher Love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm reading it again,
Because it's helpful to read it again.
Yes.
But if you remember, you know, the hardest part about a higher love is oftentimes people are running from a higher love.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the height of love, they disappear, they run away.
Mm-hmm.
And they devastate people. People stay very long in bad relationships, but they can run really fast from a good one if it demands healing issues. And
mm-hmm.
he's a man who's in his 50s, did you say?
He's late
50,
I think.
Okay, he's in his late 50s. He's too old to be fixable at this point. I mean, he's a man who's obviously showing some narcissism because disappear is manipulation. It's not telling the truth. It's not showing courage. It's only caring about him. It's not caring about you. He's probably worried what people will say and do. He's afraid of judgment. But...
Yeah.
The traits that I find in true commitment phobics is that they're always narcissistic and judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
And they're mainly narcissist because they don't care how they hurt other people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to love yourself the way you would love your daughter. If someone made love to your daughter, was intimate with her, you know, stole her heart away and then ran away without an explanation, how mad would you be at that man? Would you be furious at that man that he broke your daughter's heart?
Yeah.
Now, what you're doing right now is not being in touch with the anger that you feel so much, and it's becoming depression.
Yes.
You know, it becomes the anger turned inward, and it also, you're mourning for the end of a soulmate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a death, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel like somebody died?
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to die.
Right. They see, and I'm so glad that you're being honest you wanted to die, because when a soulmate relationship doesn't work, particularly when it's so pulled from the ground just when it's been planted, it's you don't know how to deal with this. It's the most earth-shattering, painful experience. And because I had that experience is the reason I wrote Grant Me a Higher Love.
Mm-hmm.
It's for exactly that same reason. And I had to realize that there have to be lessons to learn in this love, and I fought very hard to learn about it. Now, you didn't come this far being a woman who is independent and makes money and works hard to have a man call all the shots. This man is calling all the shots. You can come close when he says so. You can speak to him when he says so. This is a whole master-slave archetype going on, and it leaves us almost feeling like a bad little girl. I was terrified to talk to the person who did it to me, and what God would say to me is, you can't fear any human being as much as you fear this person. I mean, these people make us afraid to try to talk to them. That's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we shouldn't be so terrified, you know, I've tried to contact you, you won't speak to me. And no matter what you do with a commitment phobic of this magnitude, you can't do anything right. No matter what you do, he's going to run.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to realize that you may have had some commitment issues of your own.
Yes.
You may have been a closet commitment phobic prior to him.
Mm-hmm.
And now God gave you the level of love you might have been able to handle, because you're not the one responsible for the ending of this relationship. He is. He ran away. And you will be granted another soulmate. Of course, I always advise people to say the soulmate prayer. to pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing, and pray to be a soulmate who could be the same. If it's this man, so be it. If it's someone else, let that be. I don't see that he's going to try to contact you anytime soon, and I hate even telling you that because I don't want you to give up hope here, but he's pretty much trying to just run away. Now, he was your mentor and someone you saw regularly. Are you still going to come to contact with him in a business sense? Is there a way you can see him?
I mean, I try to, I want to have the mentorship, you know, even if I decided to set boundaries about intimacy.
But that's going to be, it's going to be impossible to do that, by the way. If it's a soulmate, it's very hard to, you can't go back to being less than a romantic, intimate soulmate. It doesn't work. It will tear your heart out. If he's your mentor and you see him with another woman, or you see him flirting with another woman, and it's not that easy to go back to that relationship. And, contact him about the mentoring at least?
Yeah, I sent an email just yesterday, just very clean, just asking about the next lesson. I didn't say anything extra.
What he's trying to do, and I got the death card on this, he's trying to just totally slam the door on you.
How come?
Part of it is because he's got a lot of unhealed issues. And right now, you know, you admire him and you're still at the stage of somewhat infatuation, and he knows the real him. He's not an easy person to live with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
He's moody. It's his way or no way. And he kind of knows if you got to know him and spend any time with him, the relationship wouldn't maintain its soulmate self because you would have to shut up a lot in order to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't want it to end because you realize he's not a god. He would prefer to walk out now while not saying anything, not doing anything what he thinks is wrong, in case he decides to walk back in your life 5 months from now. He's going to feel like he didn't do anything wrong because he didn't say anything. He didn't really do anything wrong as far as he's concerned.
Is he angry at me?
He's not angry at you at all. You haven't done anything. See, this is what happens. When people ghost you, they make you feel like you've done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And no, you haven't done anything wrong. What he is he's just not that into a higher love. He's running from the healing that a soulmate love would demand. And he's running from that. He's mad at himself that he can't step up to the plate. But, you know that you have to stop thinking that you did anything wrong.
But has he ever loved me in the first place?
This is what's going to make you crazy. If you taint all of it, if you make it like it was all lies, then you're going to make yourself crazy.
Yeah.
You have to know that when you were with him, there was love, and you felt love, and he felt love. First of all, you're young, you're beautiful. If he didn't care about you so much, he'd just come and screw the hell out of you regularly. Okay, I could have sex with this beautiful young woman. Wouldn't that make sense? Come back for more. It's because when he's with you, he feels so much more, and he can't handle that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a person who can't handle being out of control with his emotions. And that's what happened. Soulmate love, you're not in control of your emotions. You can't stop your mourning. You can't stop your crying. You can't stop wanting him. You can't stop thinking about him.
Yes.
He feels the same way. But he, usually people like this do something to distract from pain. You're a very older soul, so older souls don't abuse drugs and alcohol, and they don't have a lot of distracting behaviors. They tend to do the real suffering that life calls for, and that's what you're doing. The ending of a soulmate relationship is a mourning and a suffering. There's lessons in it, lessons to learn. If we're granted another soulmate, we will make sure this works. We're going to make sure we see red flags about people that may not be able to commit. There's a lot of lessons, but other people distract. They start drinking. They start, looking at porn. They start throwing themselves into work, being a workaholic, so they don't have to think about it. He's doing a lot of distracting behavior so he doesn't have to think about it. But he does. But when he puts his head on the pillow at the end of each night, he does think of you, no matter what he tries to do. So know that the age difference is not unusual between soulmates, but it's supposed to make us, you know that only love matters. This is something that it's not two equals anymore. He's the boss. He's calling all the shots, so you're not equals. So that makes it less than soulmate. He's not committed to it. He's run away. He's the one who has destroyed this relationship. He's the one that would not be granted another soulmate anytime soon. You would be in due time.
But I don't want anybody.
That's how you feel now. And that's, of course, the way, because soulmates are not really interchangeable with another person on Earth. And that's how we feel. But thank God we do have more than one soulmate. And you do have to mourn for it. The universe will give him some time to see what he does, because you want to keep the door open. And they will do that. But you can bet your bottom dollar, if 6 months from now you meet a soulmate, they know that this man isn't coming round. If they thought he was coming round, they wouldn't bring you another soulmate. We don't get two soulmates at the same time. Because you want him, say the soulmate prayer. If it's him, so be. If it's someone else, then let's see. But
I mean,
you have to.
Is there any possibility that you will change later?
Well, there is that possibility. In order to see if that will happen, you have to now stop chasing him. He has to fear losing you more than loving you. You keep contacting him so he knows he's still got you. You've got to, like, no matter how much you want to contact him, you've got to stop. Now, because you move in the same circle, the universe is not going to let him be like the hit-and-run driver that is, you know, slammed on his brakes and 10 people are dead behind him and he walks away. They're going to force him to be in alignment with you and to see you and to see what he lost and to see, you know, what he's done. So I would expect that you'll probably run into him in the next few months or the next month and, you know, be prepared. And, you know that, you know, he may contact you.
How should I ask him?
If you, what you would ask him is, what's your intention in calling me? What do you want from me?
How should I ask? What's my attitude?
Your attitude is to tell the truth. If you could tell him, you know, I love you and I wanted to be with you more than anybody in the world, but you closed the door and you hurt me. So if you're coming back in my life, it has to be all or nothing. You will feel glad that you told him how you feel. Talking to dead people has taught me that they mostly have regrets they didn't tell people how much they love them and what their life would have been like if they had the courage to say the words. It would be karmically correct to tell him, not to play games with him, that I want you more than I probably want anyone in my life, but I can't do this. You can't be my friend if you're not going to be my lover and my soulmate. So be honest with him. Okay. You won't regret it. You will be granted another soulmate because you're karmically correct. If he says, well, I never felt that way about you, that's a lie. You know, what he would be expected to say is, I love you too, but I'm too messed up. I can't do this. This is not what I want. At least your heart would feel, okay, I know he loves me. Like you need that to know that, and he does love you. He's just messed up. And the hardest part about doing what I do for a living is that I've lived this scenario. I know what it's like. I know how painful it is. And we want to believe these people will come around. And because it's so new and it just happened, the universe will be patient for even up to a year, or if you wanted to wait 5 years. But there'll be a point where you would be granted another soulmate if that's what you want. And yet it's too soon for you want him. You know, pray for him, send him love on a soul plane. You don't have to stop loving him. Send him messages from your heart and soul and see what it does. But just know that he shows some traits of a person that is an extreme narcissist. To hurt you this way, I could not do this to you. I could not hear you and look at you and know that I've devastated you. I would have to get some therapy. I'd have to say, what the hell's the matter with me that I'm hurting this beautiful woman who loves me? But narcissists don't have compassion for other people. It's always about their fears and protecting their fears over anything else. So people who are not narcissistic and manipulative usually can come back within 3 or 4 months knowing that they've hurt somebody. Someone like this whose ego, he's got a very big ego and his soul is very evolved too, but he's a splintered being and he's at war with his soul and his ego.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times the ego wins over the soul
mm-hmm.
in these people. But
mm-hmm.
you still want him, you pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were doing a whole workshop on soulmates and everything. I'm not surprised that you had been granted a soulmate. I think the universe was preparing you in having met me prior to this through our connection that
mm-hmm.
this might have happened, and they wanted you to hear that he does love you. He's just afraid.
Yeah, before I seen him, I was in ecstasy 24/7 for 2 months. It was like really crazy experience.
Right, and that's what happens
you,
is for the first 2 or 3 months, soulmate love is so strong it overcomes fear. Around mm-hmm. the 2 month, 3 month mark, the fears start coming up and the person runs.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like clockwork with commitment phobics. You can predict this. It's not me being
mm-hmm.
such a phenomenal psychic as 20 years of observing patterns of behavior to know that,
mm-hmm.
you know, the beginning part of soulmate is so strong, they'll do anything to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, though, when the it sort of starts calming down is when they start running.
Mm-hmm.
Well, call in and let us know what happens, by the way. And if you hear from him, you know,
mm-hmm.
we will pray for you. Do your inner work. Read the lessons, the last chapter in Grant Me a Higher Love, Lessons to be Learned
mm-hmm.
in Love Being Brought and Taken Away. See if there's some lessons you need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Read the chapter over, the chapter is step 17 on commitment phobia, because he's a true commitment phobic.
Yeah. I learned so much from the jealousy part, because I was feeling jealousy. I was just thinking about maybe he went away with other women because he's successful and, you know.
Right, and the jealousy is important. Like, there's a whole step on jealousy, and women always ask stupid questions. Is she prettier than me? Is she younger than me? Is she, you know, is she thinner? They don't ask, is she smarter? Does she make more money? Men ask, does he make more money? Does he have more power? But,
mm-hmm.
you know, truly, if he is with another woman, he would not be with another soulmate. He will not be granted a soulmate. It will be a mediocre
mm-hmm.
version of love. He
mm-hmm.
will not be granted. And so once you've had a soulmate, it's very hard to settle for a lesser version of love, by the way. You know
mm-hmm.
it's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, truly, you know, dealing with our jealousy issues is an important thing. But jealousy is oftentimes a self-esteem issue. But know
mm-hmm.
that he would just, he might be distracting with other women because that's his, you know, his drug of choice. That
mm-hmm.
doesn't, and the universe will register that if he's screwing around for 2-3 months and he's not doing his inner homework and suffering, that is not a good prognosis for him. It is for you because you'll be granted another love. Well, good luck to you. I'm going to try to take another caller because I think we have Annie in California. So good luck to you. Call in again and let us know.
Okay, Cindy.
Now, can you see the soulmates and them running? Is this like, isn't this heart-wrenching? It's like heart-wrenching.
Yes.
And
it
just... You know, that's why when it happened to me, I spent like a decade trying to figure out how someone could run from a higher love. I couldn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't understand it. And that's the book that emerged was Grant Me a Higher Love. And, you know, my feelings are with soulmate love when they leave, you know, you can choose to self-destruct, but normally the soulmate love opened us, a muse in us, something so strong that we can also create from the loss of it. And she's a musician. I hope she creates great music from it, you know, create art
mm-hmm.
from this, writing, but don't self-destruct from it because you heard that she said she wanted to die. That's how people feel.
Yeah.
But to honor a soulmate connection that's ended, we have to figure out lessons and create from it. And, you know, people who survive in this lifetime are people that create from pain rather than destroy from pain. You know, it's something we have to learn to do. I think you've been good at that, Nicole.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good at that.
So, I mean, it's something that I know people say, but I don't feel like doing that. Well, write down what you feel, you know, create from it. But, you know, it's so sad. You know, her, that call just broke my heart, by the way. Just broke my heart to hear that call.
Yeah, I know. No, it's you know, it's sad, you know, I mean, but at the same time, though, you know, she's going to have to find her strength. You know, it's not good to put so much control, you know, into his hands. You know, I mean, she's responsible for protecting her own heart, and if he's going to be careless with it, then it's her job to protect herself. And right now, you know, she needs to find that strength within her so that she can, you know, go about, you know, her business, and that so she can heal and move on and be granted that other love. Because waiting for somebody who does not want you is not an option.
Right, exactly. And just know that it's very sad, but the most important thing is self-love, loving yourself enough to say, I deserve better treatment than this. I deserve an explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is a real phenomena, ghosting in America, where people just, they can't do it, they just walk away. I mean, it's like, it's so cruel and so cowardly. And, you know, and this man is in his late 50s. He's not a boy. He's not a kid. So that makes him more karmically responsible for his behaviors, by the way. So it's terrible, isn't that?
Mm-hmm. Very.
Well, you might want to tell me who our next caller is.
Well, our next caller is Annie, and Annie is calling us from California. And basically, she just wants a little bit of an overall reading, Cindy. You know, she's been out of work, and she wants to know if you see anything on the career front, but she's also been doing some healing of her own. She's been single for a long time, and she spent some significant time trying to heal and trying to not manifest the same issues that she's had in previous relationships. And she's getting to that point now where she thinks that she's ready for a soulmate, and she wants to see if you see one of those coming along for her as well. So we're going to head over to Callie and speak to Annie.
Okay.
Hello, Annie. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Annie. We love when people are out of work and looking for soulmates, because I always know that God is trying to get you out of your little world that you've been in, get you to another job, meet new people, expand your world. So the two questions are more linked than you might think. So God is sort of trying to put you in alignment where you could meet the soulmate. In terms of work, it looks like you really are going to find something good. You tend to like the devil, you know, so you tend to stay a little bit too long in relationships or even work relationships that you should have left. So God wants to shake up your life. So it's not that this is a bad thing, you being out of work. I know it feels bad because you need money, but this is a better career here. What kind of job are you looking for? You want to go back to what you've done before, or are you looking for something new?
Well, I was doing like marketing work and EA work, and now I have a position to possibly work with a startup as an EA. And I've been through some phone calls and tests, and now I'm going to go in for an on-site interview next week.
All right, and it looks very promising on that job, by the way.
Oh,
and
cool.
Again, I love the way you're saying, well, my career, my love life. This is a really nice relationship here. How old are you, by the way?
I'm old.
Okay. Oh, old is a relative term to me, okay? I mean, you're probably a hell of a lot younger than me, so...
My birthday is coming up, so my birthday is coming up in a couple weeks, and I'll be 38.
Well, see, you're young, and you know, I just wrote a blog, and it's basically like keep your child's like spirit, you know, celebrate your birthday. You're older, wiser, better, you know.
Exactly,
it's a good thing.
I try to, every year, I want to do something fun, you know.
Right, and 38 is actually a very good age, and you're still young. There's children showing up in the future. Do you want children?
Yes.
Okay, and that's why, you know, God is like, Annie, you got a biological clock ticking. You can always make money, but you can't always make babies. So I got to get you out of your last job, get you into this new job, get you your soulmate So you can get money and you can make a baby too with your soulmate. So this is all happening. And, you know, your soul records are revealing that what you wanted when you came back to Earth was career was very important. Soulmate love was very important. And babies would be, if you had the first two, a career and a soulmate. You know, you didn't really want to necessarily have babies unless you could take care of them no matter what. But
right.
It's all showing up here, and the person that's coming is very hardworking, which is good. You know, makes money. You tended to not always pick the best people in the past. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
Okay. And did you learn an important lesson? Did you learn you can't fix people? By the way.
I did. I learned I couldn't fix people, and I learned you can't change people. And it's not their fault for
good.
Being who they are.
And that, you know, walking away sooner than later was important. It's also important that you've been standing on your own two feet without someone. How long has it been since you've had your last relationship? Sounds like a confessional. How long since your last relationship?
since my last long-term relationship where he supported me, like five years.
Okay, because things tend to work in five-year cycles. Relationships work in five-year cycles. Lack of them works in five-year cycles. During this 5 years, you've learned to stand on your own two feet, which was supremely important. And, you know, the man that's coming is hardworking, is generous, very smart man, by the way, very smart. You know, you're pretty intuitive yourself. Are you working on your psychic abilities at all, your intuition?
Yeah, I'm a healer, and I've been signed up for one of those phone lines where you know, the psychic phone lines, just to kind of help me hone my psychic abilities.
Good, because I could see you're very intuitive here. So
yeah.
That's good. And you're going to have to learn to trust your gut when you get involved. I think you don't trust your judgment of people. And this is something that you're learning to hone your psychic ability. Your gut will tell you when someone's good and or not good. And this man is really, really a very, very nice man. Do you go places where you could meet someone, by the way?
I haven't been out in a little while. But with this new job, it's going to be in the city. So I might have more opportunity out there. Because it's more of like, there's more people out there. It's more hustle and bustle.
Good. And that's what it looks like. This is really a very good year because your birthday year, your year goes from one birthday to the next. So you should definitely be happy with your career. In the upcoming year, you should the love looks really good. Again, if you want babies, you're going to have to start putting not only career as a top priority, but finding that soulmate. You know, when you're looking for a job, you do have to go to interviews. You have to put your resumes out there. Finding love is not all that different. You have to get yourself out there and, you know, make it manifest. And, you know, there's a little bit of a midlife crisis in these cards. I think you're starting to realize there's more to life than this, than what I've been doing. And
yeah.
That's because you got the hangman card that, you know, usually signifies, I want some big changes in my life. And these are really nice changes going to take place in your life. And, you know, don't think that 38 is old. It's not old. But if you want babies, you're going to have to start really sincerely thinking, I can't put finding a soulmate off. I mean, a lot of your generation does that. They tend to go 5 years without relationships. And, you know, I think if you were to look back on your life, I don't think you would expect it to be where you are in your life at this point. Did you think you would be married by now and have children or whatever at this point?
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of your generation feels that way. But, you know, I like your midlife crisis because you're not stuck in a marriage you can't get out of. My generation tended to marry young, and by the time they hit 40, they're in a marriage they hate. You know, they're stuck and they can't get out of it. And they've made bad choices. You're not in that position. You're in a position where anything can change on a dime for the better. But you're going to have to start making that happen. And, you know, again, God shook you out of your last job just to get you really changing your whole life. You were getting a little in a rut. Do you know that?
Oh, for sure.
And God said, I have to kick her out of her rut. What happens is your generation can be distracted so much. You know, this internet, there's Facebook, there's a million TV shows, you know, never even have to watch a rerun. There's movies. There's so much distraction that it can keep you from really getting out in the world. You know, in the past, people, you know, like the TV, there was no new shows all summer long. People weren't going to sit in the house watching TV. They were going to watch the same shows. They got out more. There wasn't sitting in front of Facebook or internet. People really did have more of a need to interact. You know, you could don't have to leave your house and feel like you can be communicating to the world. But it's, you know, a little bit with your generation, you're going to have to get out in the world and, you know, communicate. A lot of the good people are staying home. And how are good people going to find each other? So it's, you know, you believing that you want love and that you're ready for love, because you really have very good cards, by the way. And this is going to be your year. Love should manifest. You should have a job you love. And it's just, you know, moving forward and having a little bit of courage. You're tending to lose some of your courage. Do you know that?
Yeah.
It happens to everybody, but we have to muster up that courage again. And, you know, get out there and not be afraid of getting hurt. And I'm glad you're doing your intuitive studies. But you do have the Wheel of Fortune spinning, starting with your birthday, a very good five-year period. Pretty much anything you want is yours. So, you know, go out and seek it.
Does that give you a time period as far as, like, a job or
the job looks like it's pretty coming soon here. How long have you been out of work now?
You know, I took some time off. I took like 2 months off, and I just started looking within the past 2 months, so about 4 months.
Okay, so you've really been looking 2 months.
Yeah.
And it usually takes, you know, a couple of months to find a good job. But, you know, it looks like even the one you're going for interview looks really good here. So, you know, doesn't look like you'll be out of work very long, by the way. And you did need a little bit of a break, didn't you?
I did. I had to, the way that my last job ended, was kind of abusive. So I had to heal past, like, childhood stuff from that, because it evoked a lot of feelings of self-worth. And I needed a couple months to do that before I jumped into something else so that I didn't repeat itself in my next job.
Okay, and I'm glad you said that, because work, especially if you work in an office, becomes like a dysfunctional family.
Mm-hmm.
And if we haven't healed our issues, say, with our mother or our father, we tend to be put in alignment with a boss who's very similar to an abusive parent.
Right.
And what we have to do is learn how to deal with these kinds of people that are the unfixables, the narcissists who judge others, they bully others, they manipulate others. We have to learn to not deal with them like we're a bad little girl. Like, that's what a midlife crisis, you start realizing, I'm thinking like a little girl. That's what happened. Finally,
yeah.
I'm a grown woman, and no one has the right to talk to me disrespectfully, and that people will treat us the way we give out the energy that it's okay. And so in any situation, we have to draw healthy boundaries from the beginning. If someone's speaking disrespectfully, we have to say, you know, I'm sorry, I did my best, but I really don't appreciate you speaking to me with that tone. We have to kind of assert it so that the person stops and realize that, you know, working on our self-esteem issues is important. Have you forgiven your family members for some of the things they did, or forgive the people, not necessarily their actions? Are you dealing with that at all?
Yeah, I've been doing it for a while, and I pulled some cards for myself last night, and I asked the angels to help tie up whatever loose ends I have regarding that, because I'm not quite sure exactly what it is. But I'm just going to let it go, and I want it to go, and I want, you know, I wanted to request help from the universe to help me with that, because I'm ready to move on.
Right, and it's oftentimes that, you know, if we've been treated with disrespect or abusively as children, we learn to have a high tolerance for pain. We become crap takers. We take too much crap from everybody. And, you know, you're learning now that, you know, when you ask God to put you in alignment with people who, you know, you write down what you want for a job, but you want to work with people who are kind and good to you. And know that we're always going to encounter these people that bully us or push our buttons, you know, the way our parents might have been capable of doing, but we have to heal our issues so that we don't allow these people to be abusive. I mean, we don't have to sell our soul for money. And after a while, you probably felt like you were. Did you quit the job or did you get laid off or fired?
It was a combination of both. They told me that if I couldn't handle, like, the wrath, like, it was going to happen again because she wasn't going to change. And they knew that how I reacted to it because I was really upset. I started to cry, then I got angry about it, that it wasn't going to work.
And did you get unemployment?
I did, yeah.
Good, good.
She was very nice about it. She was very nice about it. So I don't want to put her down or anything, but she's helped me, and I'm working through those issues too.
Right, and again, we have to learn at work not to cry. You know, it's a normal response to want to cry. I mean, I would do it too. I'm not saying I would do it too, but that's how we go back into we're a bad little girl state. Do you know what I mean? Mommy,
that's
daddy, and you're yelling at me and I'm crying. And,
I felt like
You know, it's something I can still, like, I unfortunately only work for myself, but, you know, I could find if I'm bullied by a person, I might go back into that framework. I've tried very hard not to do it, but we have to, like, in work, try to diffuse it a long time before it goes that way, because what happens is we tend to shut up a lot, and then when finally the boss goes really crazy, you know, one time we go crazy, so we don't, and we cry and we get, you know, we scream. Just know that I'm glad that you realize you have to work on that issue, and that was something that you needed to learn how to do. But it's not easy because sometimes women just fall back into that. You know, they cry, they get intimidated. But work on your own strength and know that God helped you get out of this job. It wasn't good for you. It was going to make you sick if you stayed there.
Yeah,
I mean, she was abusive. She was very abusive, and
everybody was scared of her.
And well, that's because she's a bully. She's a Hitler. They want you to be afraid. But you know, bullies are like the cowardly lion in The Wizard of Oz. As soon as Dorothy starts talking to the lion back and saying you're being mean, he starts crying. Bullies are always very fearful people, and you know they're not strong people. They're very weak people. And the way that you can deal with bullies more effectively is just with the facts, not getting angry, not crying, saying, you know, when you talked to me, you know, you talked to me that way, it was very disrespectful. I was doing my job to the best of the ability. You know, when you start screaming, I can't think. So, you know, just trying to deal with facts and calmer rather than be intimidated. But these people love to intimidate people and scare people. They do.
Yeah,
that's what they live for. They live for the bullying. They live for it. And sometimes the only thing we do is we're not changing that person, we're not fixing that person, but we don't have to sell our soul for money. We don't have to take abuse from people. God does not ask us to do that. So you got out of this considered a blessing, but you know, you just want to make sure if you see a job and it looks like you're not going to like these people or they're bullying you in an interview, don't take the job. You know.
Right. Now I know what to look for.
Yeah. I mean, run for the hills, you know.
Well,
anyway, we're at the end of our show, and I'm sorry we didn't get to Jen in New York, but if she calls us next week, and we'll try to put her to the top of the call list. So good luck to you with your job quest, Annie. And Nicole, do you have anything you want to say to wind up our show, please?
You know what? I think that today's show was pretty eye-opening. We learned quite a few lessons here. And you know what? Just thank you. I just want to say thank you very much, Cindy. As always, you did a wonderful job today. You know, to Annie and to Mayumi, who are our callers tonight. You know, just keep your chin up, ladies. And, you know, good things will happen to you as long as you allow good things to happen to you. And,
and you see, we had the kind of bullies today. Did you see that? Like the man not talking to her. The woman is bullying, and this woman bullies. It's like the bully day with people.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
They're not my favorite people on the planet. You know?
No, and, I don't imagine they would be.
No, and I'm saying sometimes they have to be a little more afraid of us. You know what I mean? Stop bullying people. But please stop bullying people. I mean, my father was an absolute bully, so I mean, I don't have very much patience for bullying. I know what it is to be a child and be so scared and frightened by a bully. And, you know, toward the end of my life, I learned to stand up to him, and it was quite liberating.
See, that's wonderful.
It was
everybody
quite
to stand up to their own bullies.
It was quite liberating, you know what I mean? So, anyway, let's say goodnight to everybody, and we'll speak next week. I can't believe it's going to be September already next week.
I know, right?
Then that's amazing. Well, good night to everybody, and thank you so much for calling into our show. Have a great
week.
Thank you, guys. Bye, Nicole.
Bye.